William Morrow and Harper Audio present Sugar and Salt, a novel by Susan Wiggs. Performed by Christine Lakin. Dedication. For my brother John, the family artist and an inspiration to us all. I love you so much. A note before we begin. For recipes collected by the author and inspired by the novel, be sure to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/sugarandsalt. Prologue. San Francisco, 2019. Margot Salton wondered if there was a way to capture this moment and hold it forever. Could she freeze each detail in amber, encased for eternity like a keepsake, to be taken out and held close whenever she needed it? Because this was the kind of rare moment she never wanted to forget. The man she loved was in the audience, along with the family she never thought she would have, and still couldn't quite believe she deserved. Her heart melted at the sight of him. Self-assured, beaming with pride. She wasn't sure what she'd done to deserve him. There were friends and well-wishers, colleagues and customers, critics and admirers, all gathered to applaud her achievement. Maybe it wasn't the biggest moment in her life. That, of course, stayed buried in the past. But this felt huge, perhaps too big to belong to someone like her. A girl who had come from nothing but secrets and trouble. After everything that had brought her to this point, she was not a person who scared easily. Yet it was daunting to contemplate the notion that all her dreams, and several things she hadn't even dared to dream about, were finally coming true in the most magical way. But like all magical things, her dreams felt impossibly friable and apt to disappear at the slightest breath of wind. Until recently, she had not been the sort of person to whom good things tended to happen. She was still getting used to the gentle smile of fortune. Around her neck, she wore a wide, colorful ribbon with a heavy medallion that bumped against her chest when she moved. The medal was almost embarrassingly conspicuous, but she wore it with pride as the newest recipient of the Divinia Award, one of the country's highest culinary prizes. It was particularly meaningful to Margot because it not only recognized a restaurateur's skill and vision, it also acknowledged her contributions to her employees and community. Still, a medal? Really? A medal was supposed to signify an act of heroism, and she was no hero. Even so, this moment belonged to her. Cooking had saved her. Reading books had saved her. Raw determination had saved her. She'd worked her ass off to get here. And finally, the right people had noticed. Applause and a few happy shouts crescendoed as she descended from the podium. Camera flashes went off, and people held up phones to capture the moment. Special attention was paid to her signature cowboy boots. Under glittering lights, servers crisscrossed the outdoor banquet area, their trays laden with her finest amuse-bouches and tasty bites, flutes of bubbly and jars of lavender lemonade. After pictures, she made her way back down to a group of well-wishers who awaited her, along with a bottle of champagne in an ice bucket. She hugged and high-fived her way through a gauntlet of people, her investors from the Privé group who had taken a chance on her, the GM and sous chefs, line cooks, bartenders, and servers, all of whom had a hand in her success, were there to celebrate her. Food journalists and bloggers, even the skeptics who didn't think she'd make it and who had given her plenty of nervous indigestion, now raised their glasses and beamed with pride. She paused for another picture with Buckley DeWitt, a senior writer and editor with Texas Monthly. He had been the first journalist to notice her back when he was a stringer for the magazine years before. He wore his considerable girth with good cheer, having built a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?